Okay, let's get started. Hello, everyone. My name is Rick Traer. I'm the CEO of Sport Tourism Canada, and thanks for joining us here today. A couple of housekeeping items before we get started. Everyone's microphone should remain on mute to prevent background noise and feedback. Please use the chat button for any questions, and we'll try to answer as many questions as possible or post the answers afterwards on our website. A copy of the presentation will be posted on our website within 24 hours. As many of you will recall, we canceled Sport Events Congress in Edmonton 11 days before the event in March, with over 425 delegates already registered, a record. Thousands of sport events have since been postponed or canceled outright, affecting hundreds of thousands of people and challenging the sustainability of many organizations and companies in the sport event supply chain, the backbone of the $6.8 billion sport tourism industry domestically. Over the last several months, we've conducted a total of 13 webinars on a variety of COVID-related topics to assist the industry to navigate the crushing effects of the pandemic. In May, we launched a 24-person recovery task force representing sport tourism stakeholders from across Canada. The task force met weekly as a group, along with weekly meetings of each of the four task groups that were formed to address specific areas related to the recovery process. Grant MacDonald, Sport Tourism Canada's head of consulting services, led the activities of the task force over the past 5 months. A copy of the full report and executive summary was circulated widely last week. It's now my pleasure to introduce Grant, who will provide us with an overview of the process and the results. Grant, over to you.
Thanks, Rick. And I believe this is webinar number 3 for me, so my apologies that you have to listen to me yet again. But it is a pleasure to be with you today. We did want this session to be interactive, so I'm going to go through the presentation rather briskly, so that we can get to the Q&A portion. So if you do have questions, I would encourage you to please enter those into the chat. Once I get through the presentation, then we will take as many of the questions as we can in the time that we have available. First off, I'd like to thank all of the members of the task force. You'll see them here on your screen. These people gave up their time and contributed their talents and insights into the process over the summer months, many of whom did so either on their vacation or instead of vacation. And I'd like to extend my personal thanks on behalf of Sport Tourism and the entire stakeholder network across Canada to the individuals that you see on your screen who had given up so much over the summer months in order to contribute to this process. Also, I'd like to thank you, and that is the sport hosting system in Canada. It has been a trying year and one that has tested all of our will, all of our ingenuity, and all of our powers of collaboration in order to come up with solutions to the immediate problems that we have. But we wanted to make sure that we engaged you throughout this process. So thank you for everything that you've contributed up until this point, and we look forward to your continued contributions as sport hosting in Canada reshapes and reimagines what it can be in the future. So where we've been very quickly, we know the impacts, as Rick mentioned. There were several canceled and postponed events. All of us probably had some direct impacts to our own lives as far as some of those canceled or postponed events, winding those up for 2020, trying to figure out what they look like for 2021, 2022 or beyond. And then obviously there was a deep loss of revenue for the entire sport hosting system, which has impacted bidding and hosting into the future. Some organizations out of necessity have had to make workforce adjustments in order to ensure their continued sustainability. But probably the biggest thing that we had noticed in the days and weeks following the pronouncement of the COVID-19 as a global pandemic was that sport hosting, other than the cancellations, which seemed to be a running tally, really wasn't part of the public narrative. And what we wanted to do is to ensure that we captured our own story and were able to tell it in a meaningful way. Ultimately, because of the public health requirements and the impacts to public gathering, we do know that sport hosting as it would have existed pre-COVID will be the absolute last segment to return. And we know that we need to find ways around some of the obstacles that have been placed in front of us. But we've already seen across the country some signs of the early stages of recovery. So what we were doing when we launched the task force is we wanted to ensure that it was representative of the sport hosting system in Canada. And we broke the task force into four task teams that were looking at funding, policy, research, and strategy. What we have learned, and this is the shortest list I can present because the long list is in the full strategy document, but really when it came down to it is that there were two primary learnings. And those are that an unprecedented level of supports will be required for the return of sport hosting in Canada. We also know that that will need to be adaptive because not every community, not every venue, not every supply chain partner is in the same place at a given point in time. And they may need additional supports in order to get over this crisis and to ensure that they can contribute coming out of COVID-19. Those supports are financial. They are also around ensuring access into Canada, movement throughout Canada, and ensuring that we can deliver the type of fan experience that Canada has become known for globally. We want to make sure that we don't just recover, but that we can deliver a new and improved sport hosting system in Canada. As part of that, as I mentioned earlier, there needs to be a focus on advocacy for sport tourism. As I mentioned earlier, in the days and weeks following the pandemic, we weren't hearing much about sport hosting other than the cancellation roster, which seemed to be updated on a daily and weekly basis. But we do know from past global crises that sport tourism can contribute to the recovery. And in order to ensure that it does, we needed to develop guidelines for recovery that can be adapted at the local, provincial, and national levels, whether you're on the tourism side, whether you're in sport, whether you're a supply chain partner or otherwise. Who would we have been working with in the weeks and months since COVID-19 became our daily life include Destination Canada, Sport for Life, the Canadian Olympic Committee, Sport Canada, and the Federal Provincial Territorial Hosting Community of Practice. The one good thing that has come out of COVID-19 is the level of interest and the spirit of partnership that we have seen amongst organizations across Canada to try to find solutions to both our short-term but also our long-term problems that we face. So what are the next steps? We have released the bouncing back strategy. We will be conducting domestic and international rights holder assessments over the coming weeks. We will be also assessing what the consumer travel and attendance intentions are across the country. We will be developing a sport tourism health index so that we can identify what the current state or health of our industry is across Canada. And then we need to be proactive in telling the sport tourism story. The values or the value and impacts that we bring to our communities, to sport, to business, and to Canada. We know that we will play a role in recovery. Unlike other segments, we are providing social development because of the gathering, the opportunity for residents to engage in community life or re-engage once it is safe to do so. But ultimately, we need to ensure that there is a sustainable funding framework because we have learned that sport hosting is under-resourced in Canada. and in some cases may have been taken for granted. And we need to ensure that that story is told so that we can not just be part of the recovery, but again, we can reimagine what sport hosting looks like in the future for Canada so that we can be the leading global sport hosting nation in the world. All of the work that has taken place over the past number of months has gotten us to the starting line. And there was a significant amount of work that was put forth by the task force. But as we had talked about amongst that group, that we've just now reached the starting line. And the challenge is we don't yet know where the finish line is. What bouncing back is intended to be is a document that outlines guidelines for reimagined sport hosting system, both during recovery and once we achieve resilience. In order to do that, we need to make sure that sport bidding and hosting is well understood, that it is resourced, that it can be planned effectively based upon the best information that we have available to us, that it is executed at the highest level to ensure that we are advancing our local, provincial, and national sport hosting resumes, and that we measure it, because ultimately we need to tell that story well into the future so that we can ensure that sustainable funding in the long term. What bouncing back is not, and it was never intended to be, is to provide the step-by-step instruction manual that will help, because every circumstance is different at the local, provincial, and national levels. So we needed to ensure that we were providing options that people could adapt to their own local realities, because what is happening in Newfoundland and Labrador is not what is happening in British Columbia, and we need to make sure that it was able to be adapted based on those local conditions. And we do know, and we've seen already as wave two has started, that individual locations will be moving forward and backward based on what the public health circumstances are on the ground. And in order to ensure that it is adaptable, we needed to make sure that it wasn't rigid, that was a step-by-step manual. As part of this process, and this may look familiar to some host cities who have experienced the sport tourism roadmap, we've adapted the roadmap and we've created lanes for both host cities and sport organizations. Ultimately, we need to make sure that this becomes a multi-lane highway that includes the entire supply chain. The supply chain that depends on sport bidding and hosting in order to ensure that their businesses are sustainable. But this also extends to venues so that they can effectively plan when they can locate events into their facility calendars and be able to forecast that out much further. So that they are contributors to sport at the local community, but also contributors to business at the local community. So this 10-step process, which was originally developed for host cities, has been adapted so that it is inclusive of sport organizations. And we will have more news about how this can be adopted by national, provincial, and local sport organizations in the future, because everything that we've done in our past has been focused on the federal and providing good information and tools that can be adapted by the provincial and local. I think what we need to do in the reimagination of sport hosting in Canada for the future is to ensure that every tool that we develop is developed with the provincial and local circumstances in mind, so that it is not seen to be something that is just for larger centers or just for those communities that are attracting international events. This needs to be scalable so that it meets the needs of inter-community events and provincial events the same way that it would be for national and international events. So this 10-step process does show a finish line, but it is also intended to be repeatable and ensure that planning can be more effective, and that ultimately we are thinking about legacy when we start to imagine the types of events that we can develop or bid for. Anybody who knows Jim Collins, good to great, knows about the concept of getting everybody on the bus. Ultimately, right now, we're sitting with an empty bus, both literally and figuratively, because much of our public transportation is not operating the way that it would have pre-COVID. But ultimately, we need to make sure that we're getting the right groups and organizations on the bus with us so that we can get going in the direction that we set out. So who needs to be on the bus? It looks like a lot, and it is. This is a jigsaw puzzle that will continue to evolve, but ultimately we need to make sure that medical professionals are on the bus, accommodations partners, marketers, media, sport organizations at all levels, local, provincial, and national, all levels of government. We need to ensure that the federal government, that this is all connected into Canada as a sport hosting nation, airlines and airports who are hurting as is much of the tourism industry, but we need to make sure that we can access the destinations in order to stage these events. And in doing so, we need to make sure that we're able to do it in the right venues that, again, are scalable, and that we can ensure both a positive fan experience, but ultimately a safe fan experience. Ground transportation partners, researchers, cultural performers, and restaurants and culinary sector and the entire food service industry. All of these organizations in our communities, in our provinces, and in Canada have been deeply impacted by COVID-19, as we have. But we have a role to play in bringing them together, helping them to recover, and being an accelerator for them to get back to what could become normal in the future. How can we do this? The impacts of sport hosting, and people have heard about the triple bottom line. And just as a refresher, on the economic side, it's about visitation. It's about brand profile, ensuring that we're telling our stories about our communities, our provinces, and our venues. It's about hotel stays, gross domestic product, or the ability for our events to grow local and provincial economies. It is about taxes and it is about jobs. But it's not just economic. We need to tell the full story of what sport hosting can do. And that includes social, which other segments are not able to deliver. However, sport hosting can impact the development of sport. It can, as I mentioned earlier, ensure the engagement of residents through volunteerism. It can build that sense of community and pride. It can showcase culture, and it can ensure social inclusion. On the sustainability side, it's about local leadership, ensuring that we're building knowledge capacity in our communities so that we can bid for and host more events in the future. It's about our existing infrastructure and ensuring that they are financially sustainable and not a drain on the public purse. It's about logistics, using those providers and that supply chain that exists close to home, and being able to provide the conduit for those companies to access the contracts associated with events. It's about legacy, as I mentioned earlier. Ultimately, we want to ensure that we leave our communities better post-event than they were pre-event. And it is about the environmental, but not just about the environmental. But there's more to the story when it comes to sport events. And in this case, we can serve as an accelerator to recovery. The way that we can do that is ensuring that people can make the decision to travel. When people are deciding their future travel, it will be based on some motivator or some catalyst, and usually that is family related. So people will be making the decisions to travel. It will be closer to home, but ultimately it will be driven by a family decision. We do know, as has been shared many times in the past, that sport tourism can become a stabilizing force during times of volatility within the tourism industry. And past crises have told us this. That is not necessarily an indicator that it will happen in the future, But if past does provide evidence of what could happen, we do know that from 9/11 to SARS to the global economic crisis, that sport tourism has provided that acceleration for people to start to travel again. And typically, their travel decisions, when it impacts their family, those will be made closer to home, intercommunity, then provincial, ultimately regional, national, and international. But that will be dependent upon what the circumstances are for themselves, their families, and within their communities. Ultimately, we want to get people back in the stands, but we want to do so safely. And in order to do that, we need to make sure that we're building out the fan experience in a new way so that people can feel safe and that we can build public confidence to not just travel, but also to attend events. Ultimately, we can also contribute to the health and well-being of our communities. It was mentioned by Thomas Bach yesterday that sport has the opportunity to positively impact the health of individuals and ultimately the wellness of our communities. Sport events give our communities the opportunity to gather if they can do so safely. And we want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to ensure that we are a positive contributor to the health and well-being of individuals, of athletes, of facility staff, and the entire supply chain that depends on sport events for their own needs. What's next? We know it's a long road. We know that people are going to need to feel connected before they feel comfortable enough to travel or to attend events. So we need to be mindful of that and ensure that what we're building is respectful of people's individual needs, which will ultimately determine their own future decisions around travel and attendance at events. What we've been doing over the past number of weeks and months, as I mentioned earlier, is really focusing on collaboration and partnership, because Sport Tourism Canada is just one part of the sport hosting system in Canada, and we need to make sure that we are working with other organizations in order to build out that sustainable future for sport hosting in Canada. As I mentioned earlier, we have partnered with Destination Canada, and as a result of some of the initial work completed by the Recovery Task Force, along with the glaring need that has been identified for further industry research, Sport Tourism Canada has partnered with Destination Canada and has also been supported by Sport for Life, who I'll mention in a moment, as well as other organizations, undertaking one of the most comprehensive industry-wide research studies that has been done on sport hosting in Canada to date. The goals of this will be to provide meaningful and actionable insights into the current state of sport hosting and sport tourism in Canada. It will be about enabling the safe return of sport event hosting in Canada and the restart of local economies through sport tourism, and providing information necessary to restore participant, spectator, and community confidence in hosting, attending, and traveling to sporting events. Just a shameless plug, we would like to mention that the first wave of research will involve all constituent groups involved in sport, sport hosting, and sport tourism from the NSO level to LSOs, private event rights holders, municipalities, destination organizations, and all other affiliate and support groups, and the entire supply chain that includes hotels, airlines, venues, and other suppliers. A survey will be distributed in the coming weeks through Sport Tourism Canada, as well as other partner databases. And we would just like to encourage, we recognize that there's survey fatigue out there, but we know since this pandemic started that we didn't have good, reliable data upon which to base decisions, not just for Sport Tourism Canada, but for the entire sport hosting system in Canada. So we would like to ask for your support in advance. If you do see this come across your desk, please do take the time to fill it out. It will help significantly to ensure that we've got the broadest set of data inputs in order to base future decisions on. And as I mentioned, Sport for Life. In August, I can share that in collaboration with Sport Tourism Canada, we jointly submitted with Sport for Life a pre-budget submission to the Federal Finance Committee requesting a two-pronged investment approach for the future of community-level sport. There was $250 million for a local sport organization recovery fund, which would be made available to the 30,000 plus community sport organizations in Canada based on specific eligibility criteria, but it would enable them to get equitable access to sport, contributing to public health, workforce development, the economy, and social renewal in our communities. And then the other prong of that two-pronged approach was a call for $100 million for a community sport event recovery fund to support local sport tourism as an economic driver and community leader that entrenches public safety protocols in sport tourism events across Canada. Ultimately, we need to get more resources into the system so that we can not just bid or develop events that can attract visitors and motivate people to start traveling again when it is safe to do so. But we want to make sure that those events are planned safely, effectively, and that they are contributing not just to the local economy, but to the development of sport and the re-engagement in our communities. Ultimately, we know that the finish line is uncertain. As people who might have seen this race run in baseball parks in the past, ultimately somebody is going to, one of these contestants is going to do a face plant. We want to try to avoid that. We want to make sure that you can get from strategy to action so that you can identify the relevant problems in your own communities. Though some of those problems could be time, could be financial resources, could be how you can deliver quality and safe event experiences. Also, everybody is dealing with human resource challenges. We're all doing this beyond regular work hours. It has taken a lot of commitment on the part of a lot of people to keep sport hosting top of mind. And we need to make sure that we can elevate it on the agendas around our local, provincial, and federal governments. Partnerships, as we talked about, we all need to be open to those partnerships and figure out who we can work with, and then ultimately build our own strategic approaches with the vision for the future of sport hosting, and then identifying what those short, midterm, and long-range goals will be. What can you do? I had done the first webinar in this series, which was in mid-April. And at that time, we had looked at some lessons learned from the circumstances in Fort McMurray following the Alberta wildfires. Some of these have been adapted since then because we have learned more from this pandemic than from previous crises in Canada. But ultimately, you can assess, you can connect with all of your facility operators, all of those supply chain partners to figure out if they're still operational, what are the circumstances under which they can get back up and running and be able to support events in your local community. You can engage. Engagement these days is just as we're doing today. It's going to be virtual for the most part. In some parts of the country, you are able to meet face-to-face, but doing so at a safe physical distance. But we know that engagement will look differently over the coming months, but you need to engage with all of those potential partners within your own communities, provinces, or regions of Canada. We need to communicate. As I mentioned earlier, advocacy is one of the key problems that have been identified throughout the work of the task force, and we need to both package our story, and then we need to tell that story proactively. And then we need to act. Once we have our plans in place, we need to make sure that we can put those plans into action and ensure that we can adjust those actions as circumstances dictate. Because we do know, if one thing, that change is going to be constant for all of us who are involved in bidding and hosting sport events. And with that, I will open it up for any questions.
Thanks, Grant. Maybe just to start things off, can you speak kind of generally to the kind of the three phases of recovery and kind of where we are right now and potentially how we move along that continuum over the next weeks and months?
Sure. And as those of you who would have reviewed the either the executive summary or the strategy, you would have seen that we have adopted the three phases that have been put forth by the federal government, those being response, recovery, and resilience. In the case of response, that is, in some cases, we are still in the response phase, and that is evidenced by having no ability to host because of the lack of facility access, the inability to gather or to bring people together. And in some cases, we've been able to still be in the response phase, yet still be able to host. And there are a few examples across the country that I'll get into in a moment. The recovery phase is when we start to have some modified hosting. We can get access to facilities. We can move teams and athletes around to ensure that they can compete in a modified environment. Examples of that would be the NHL Hub in Edmonton, which was staged effectively without fans in the stands. There's also examples of the Canadian Premier League, who hosted the Island Games in Charlottetown, as well as the Canadian Elite Basketball League, who hosted a season tournament in the Niagara region. All of those are examples of recovery in that there is significant adaptation, working with public health, and hosting in a modified environment. Some parts of the country are already in the recovery phase, but as I mentioned earlier, you can move from one phase to another, and in some cases, based on the local public health circumstances, you can move backward based upon the level of active cases in the local community. Then the third phase is resilience. And resilience is once we're able to host again with fans in the stands, and ultimately that will be whatever the new normal is. What we have identified throughout this process is that we don't want the new normal to be the same as the old normal. We know that the status quo is not good enough because, as I mentioned earlier, sport hosting in Canada is underfunded and in some cases, or in many cases, underleveraged. So we want to ensure that the resilience phase, which is the new normal for sport hosting in Canada, is one in which sport hosting is top of mind. Sport hosting is integrated with other segments of sport, of tourism, of business, of culture, and otherwise, and that we are working proactively with all of those like-minded organizations who have shared goals and objectives so that we can attract the right events that deliver the right impacts and that we're able to do that in a consistent and repeatable way.
Thanks, Grant. Just a reminder, if you do have any questions, just shoot them through the chat feature. Another one, Grant, throughout the process of the task force deliberations, were there any unexpected outcomes or intel perhaps that you weren't expecting?
And there were a few surprises along the way. Some of those surprises included the level of openness to partnership. Previously, we had sport hosting in Canada. It seemed to be something that in certain locations had to be cobbled together, that there was a significant amount of resources in order to get partnerships built, projects off the ground. But we did learn very early on that other organizations were reaching out, and that there was a shared interest in ensuring that we could connect the dots between the economic, the social, and the sustainability outcomes of organizations that are involved in the delivery of sport, those that are involved in the delivery of sport events, and all of those organizations that make up the supply chain. The supply chain in Canada is one that is tenuous given its nature, because they go from gig to gig. And as a result, there wasn't a lot of ability for them to be able to sustain through the challenges and the lost costs or sunk costs associated with events that were either in progress, were upcoming, or were on the calendar. And in order to ensure that those supply chain partners will be with us once we get to resilience, we know that we have a role to play in helping to get them over this particular hurdle.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of as an extension of that, was there any sense of increased flexibility with perhaps some of the existing funding programs available to support hosting, either at the provincial or the federal level?
To the extent that they could, yes. So I think many were responding to the circumstances in order to adapt what their standard terms and conditions might have been to be able to open up to some new opportunities. And hats off to all of those people at all levels of government who were working with those event organizers, those sport organizations, and those rights holders in order to ensure that those events could be rescheduled, could potentially come back under some modified hosting criteria. And that's something that we know we still have more work to do, is to get more money into the system so that the pie is bigger, but then also provide clearer on-ramps in order to access those funds. Because right now, I think there's a lot of uncertainty about what some of those funds may look like coming out of COVID-19, especially those that are driven by municipal accommodation taxes, destination marketing funds, or hotel levies, whatever they happen to be called, in your location across Canada. Those funds have been significantly depleted. And in order to ensure that we can both bid for, develop, and host events in the future, we know that we need to get more money into the system so that those funds can not just ensure that we can deliver positive sport events, but again, that we are part of that recovery, so that we are helping to be an accelerator to the public confidence to travel and attend events once again.
And specifically as it relates to the potential development of a new business model for events that you've referenced in the presentation, you know, you're looking at, you know, two sides, really one on the revenue side with, you know, the potential for reduced revenue, either via ticketing or sponsorship. And then on the expense side, you know, I guess the potential for increased costs, kind of almost COVID-related costs, potentially related to increased testing, you know, and trying to deliver against a lot of the protocols that could be in place, whether it's related to number of or reduced number of seating capacity for venues, et cetera. Any thoughts along those lines and how that might roll out?
Yeah, and we actually had some input throughout the work of the task force from the venue operator side. And venues see themselves as partners in this, and I think there was a willingness from those that we spoke to work with sport organizations, events rights holders, and organizers to try to come up with palatable solutions that worked for everybody. The bottom line was that everybody saw themselves as part of this system. And I think that's part of what that advocacy work can serve to do, is to identify where everybody fits within that system so that everybody sees themselves as part of it, but also sees their role in coming up with innovative solutions to some of these problems. The costs of cleaning, of testing, of increased accommodations requirements, of different ground transportation, of different food service, all of those things are realities now. And we need to make sure that we can work together to find out what the solutions are to those challenges, and not just download those to somebody else, because ultimately, if the system comes back with the same amount of financial resources that it had pre-COVID, then there will be a loss of business because they just won't be sustainable in the future. So that will be part of that calculus that has to go on from events rights holders to potential host communities. And that work, I think, will start earlier, and there will be much more disclosure between the two so that they can work in partnership as opposed to on opposite sides of the street.
Great, thanks very much. Don't have any other questions in the chat box. So if there are no others, just a couple of comments to finish up then. Thanks very much, Grant. Outstanding work and, you know, chairing the task force. I know it's been a labor of love, probably, that you're happy to see in the rearview mirror for the moment, at least. I should mention that the next steps in this process are from a Sport Tourism Canada standpoint, is we are in the process of forming an advocacy task team to take the recommendations and the outcomes of the great work that the task force has done. And if there's anyone on the call who is interested in participating as a member of that task team or contributing to its work, then please either send an email to Grant, which is on the last slide of his presentation, or myself at Sport Tourism Canada. And just a reminder that our 2021 Sport Events Congress is scheduled for April 7th to 9th. In Ottawa, and Ottawa Tourism will be our hosts for 2021, fingers crossed. And the Congress is scheduled at this point to be held in conjunction with the World Curling Championships, which will be held in Ottawa at that same time as well. So please stay in touch if you're not already connected to our organization. Please follow us on our social media channels or visit our website for further information at sporttourismcanada.com. With that, I will once again thanks Grant for the presentation, for all the work you've done in chairing the task force. Thanks for everyone taking the time out of your day to participate on this webinar. Thanks once again and have a great evening.